Big Storm Beer from Big Storm Brewing Company is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Check out all the great Big Storm beers at BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com, tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, and Ybor City, upstairs at Centro Ybor. Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back. He is the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Ira Kaufman. And the podcast can be found, if you're not listening to it there right now, at joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, other platforms, and you can subscribe. Some places you can leave a review. You can listen, tell your friends. We appreciate it. Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of joebucksfan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. This is episode 2 of this week, so go back and listen to the one you might have missed and the other ones. We try to keep them pretty timeless, Ira. They're topical. They're not talking about how some third string Nickelback is doing, who has no chance of making the roster, and how he's performing so damn well when they're not really playing real football. So, we got podcasts of quality, right, Ira?
There's no question about it, Steve. You can't talk quarterback enough. When Brady was there, you couldn't talk Brady enough. Lee, now Brady's gone, and we still can't talk quarterback enough because the progress and the play under center this year will go a long way to determining what happens with your 23 bucks. Lee, I got to say, we're 3 months before the opener in Minneapolis. Lee, I know you're going to be there. I'm happy about that. And the Bucks have already won. Lee, the Bucks already have a victory because Dalvin Cook will be an ex-Viking. Here comes Mr. Madison taking Cook's job in Minnesota. Well, I don't have to tell you, Lee, Madison... I know Madison, and he's no Dalvin Cook. The only problem is if he goes to a team like Carolina, I don't see him. He's certainly not going to Atlanta, and I don't think he's going to New Orleans. So let Miami have him. Let Buffalo have him, whatever. But he's not going to be a Viking. And
wait a minute, Ira. You forgot one team. What about the Buccaneers, Ira? I mean, look, the guy's market is deflated right now, and everybody's got a price, and we don't know what Dalvin Cook wants. Isn't he from Florida? And, yes. I don't know what he wants, but, I mean, is there a possibility here, Ira Lee, that if the price becomes right, if he's willing to sign the right kind of deal, and do you think that could happen here?
Steve, in terms of need, and I'm looking at the Buck roster, I think it makes a ton of sense. Lee, the guy's only 27. Only 27. Hey, he's got some tread on him. He does. You want him toting the ball 18 times a game or Rashad White? 18 times a game. Lee, that's a no-brainer. But Steve says the word if. It's the most overused word, Lee, in sports. If. The guy wants to be paid, Lee. He wants to be paid, and he's going to have some suitors. The Bucks wouldn't be the only team interested in him. I don't know if the Bucks want to get into that kind of fiscal war for his services, Lee.
It would seem highly unusual if the Bucks went out and got Cook. I mean, I love Dalvin Cook. Don't get me wrong. I mean, no one screamed louder for the Bucks to draft Dalvin Cook than me. No one. But let's think about this. First, you have a general manager who we know does not like aging running backs. Number two, the Bucks could have got all kinds of running backs in the draft at very cheap rates and like passed on every chance and instead decided to go with his stable of guys who amounted to the worst rushing attack in the NFL last year. That's a hell of a lot of confidence. He's gotten Rashad White and Keyshawn Vaughn a whole lot of confidence. So it would just seem really unusual, bordering on shocking, if Light decided to bring Dalvin Cook in here. And Albert Breer tweeted out the current NFL salary cap figures, and the Bucks have dropped from 401k to 395. In 1 week, Breer said, you can bet the teams like the Bucks are going to be making some moves relatively shortly to free up cap space.
I think even Steve would say highly unlikely, but that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense.
Oh, it makes sense. Of course it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense from a football standpoint. doesn't make sense from Jason Light's history and the salary cap pinch.
Sage, I'm glad you put it in that framework because it does make sense on a few angles here. Because if you're Todd Bowles and you don't care about anything else other than winning football games and keeping your job, you see Dalvin Cook out there and you're like, well, what would we have to do? I mean, who would we have to not have? Right. Whose contract might we be able to rework a little bit to get this guy in here? Because to say there's not a need at running back, okay, I get it. You're fine with who you got, but he's certainly an upgrade. And they're still trying to win a division, Ira. And then there's Team Glazer, who you like to talk about. And Team Glazer, you know, who they're still selling tickets right now, trying to fill that stadium. And there's Dalvin Cook, Florida guy, Florida State hero. Neat little story about how a lot of fans wanted him drafted here. He's still a top player. Yes, he faded late last season. No denying it. But he also did a hell of a lot before that. And if the price is reasonable, now the Vikings tried to trade him, Ira. They had no takers to pay him $10 million this year. So what does his salary end up looking like? You know, we know that running backs are devalued. Is eventually he willing to take $6 million to play on a prove-it deal, or is he looking for a long-term contract? Does he want to be in Florida? Does he want a prove-it deal to show his worth? We just don't know. But, man, it's awfully interesting if the price becomes somewhat reasonable.
You know, Lee, to Steve's point, and we've talked about it, Lee, and you've mentioned it. Lee, there are ways. There are things you can do. The Bucs are good at it. Other teams are good at it. And the Bucs are one of them. Restructure. Monkey around with the cap. Massage the cap. Lee, this guy, Mike Greenberg, you know, he's getting more pub than Jason Light sometimes for his so-called mastery of the salary cap. I think Steve brings up an interesting point from a Todd Bowles perspective. Does Todd Bowles have that much invested in Rashad White? I think Todd Bowles had anything to do with the drafting of Rashad White. Lee, am I wrong? He didn't. And so he has an okay rookie year. Not bad. Nothing special. And like Steve says, Lee, the guy's fighting for his job. Cook's out there. You gotta think he's having a conversation with White. You have to.
Well, Bowles was head coach when Rashad White was drafted.
He was, but he had just come in, Lee. He had just come in about a month before the draft, so I don't think he was knee deep in Rashad White. I do not.
I mean, I think we all agree that we're waiting to see Rashad White earn his keep. I think I've written that more than Steve has. Like, I don't see any evidence that Rashad White is this magical player that the Bucs don't need to add to the worst rushing attack in the NFL. That's been my contention for weeks. And, you know, I'll repeat that Light apparently has a whole lot more confidence in these guys than us three. However, having said that, I think all three of us know very easily how the Bucs could find salary cap room to sign Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Sage, I was going to bring that up because it's a guy. We're not going to talk much quarterbacks in this episode, Sage, because we did that last time. I know you mentioned that early. But there's a guy named Devin White out there who I think a lot of fans listening, and I know that's what Lee was referring to, would say, hey, you know what? If you can get a good deal for Devin White, that's going to free up $11 million. Why not give $8 million of that to Dalvin Cook, and let's go see if we can win this division.
And maybe you put the rookie linebacker in White's spot, Lee, right next to Levante David. It's possible. This is a delicate time for White. Lee, I don't know if he's showing up next week for mandatory minicamp. If he doesn't, that could tilt the calculus a little bit.
Well, Sage,
this guy's serious.
Sage, speaking of calculus, 0% financing right now, 60 months for 60 months on a new 22 Ford Escape. That's what you got. And a Ford Explorer at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Curie, the Curry family, 65 plus years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. You can also concierge custom order a vehicle online. They'll help you. So easy. No deposit. Lifetime warranty on every new vehicle. And Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's going to give you a $500 gift card with every custom order. No problem. They've also got a new deal going at Bill Curry Ford, Ira. They're beating prices. You come to them and say, hey, this guy in Fort Myers is offering me this deal on a vehicle. And you know what? They're going to beat it. Sean Sullivan, he's pounding that drum now. So don't hesitate to reach out to Sean. That could be a pre-owned vehicle or a new Ford. BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean's contact information there. And they've got great pre-owned selection, body shop, BillCurryFord.com. Florida's elite restoration, Ira. Storm season, Sage, you know what to do. What's in your web laptop there? Where do you go?
Oh, you go to Florida's elite restoration. You know, Josh and his crew, and we know them well. They came to our draft party. We've seen them other times. He's got a crack staff. The guy's got a lot of experience, Steve, as you're about to tell us, on all sides of this business. All you ask for, all you crave, when you have a problem, minor or major, is honesty from the experts that you bring in. You got to trust them, and that's where they excel. They will give you an honest assessment. Josh and his crew are sworn to do that.
And I just want to make sure for our younger listeners, when Iris says a crack staff, that's an old expression. That means they're cutting edge. They're at the top of their game. Doesn't mean they're on crack. It doesn't mean they're crazy. Josh's team is fantastic. He and his partners have 25 plus years on the insurance side of the business. So they make sure you don't get ripped off on an insurance claim. And that's why you got to call them first to get a free assessment of what's happening. And if you move forward with them and you let them know when you call that you heard them from Ira or Joe Bucks Fan, they'll give you $500 back, maybe cash for your deductible or just money back if you're paying for a repair to restore your property after storm damage, mold, fire, flood, whatever it is. Florida's eliterestoration.com. Ira, Devin White, a mandatory minicamp starts Tuesday. And of course, Todd Bowles, we talked about that. He expects everybody there. Devin White put a lot of pictures online about his stable, his Get Live stable, where he raises standard breds, he sells them, he races them. He's very busy with them. And we know he's asked to be traded. What I don't get, Ira, is if White is really serious about squeezing the bucks for a contract, why would he show up? I mean, I understand he's going to get fined, but don't you kind of lose a lot of leverage if you show up? And I guess the other two important questions that I don't know the answer to, and you know nobody in the media has asked, I'm not knocking anybody, but has White been sitting in meetings virtually? We don't know that. If he's been dialed in, is he talking to coaches every day or is he just disconnected? And I guess my question to you is, what do you think of all this? Do you think he'll show up? Do you think he'll dig in for a contract? At some point, he would have some leverage if he was willing to really dig in here. Where do you think it stands?
I don't expect him next week, Lee. I'd be a little surprised if he came. If he's got any leverage, it's withholding his services. I'll tell you, Lee, the one thing that he can't say, he absolutely can't say that Todd Bowles has not supported him publicly at every turn. Every turn. Now, Lee, we don't know what goes on in the position rooms, and Bowles says he can get very sarcastic. I don't have any doubt that he can. But, Lee, when he's in front of a podium, and he's talked a lot about Devin White since this issue blew up, and even before that, when he discusses White's level of play, he goes out of his way, Lee, to talk about all the good things that White does. And he doesn't spend much time talking about White's faults. So, from that perspective, you know, and I think Bowles is doing the right thing by doing that. Because I think otherwise White's the kind of guy that would go into a total funk and you might lose him. So we'll see. I don't think Bowles has given up on Devin White, but he expects a lot more out of him. No matter what he says at the podium, he's not happy with Devin White's play, Lee. I think that's obvious.
I think we all are. We saw what he can be. And yes. Since the playoffs in 2020, he's slipped, consistently slipped. He fell off the year after the Bucks won the Super Bowl. And last year, he got to the point where Hall of Famers were calling him out.
Boy, you know, Steve, it's amazing to see a player who peaks so early on a grand stage, Steve, and then doesn't follow up, doesn't work on his weaknesses. I mean, he's still very young, but he's experienced. He's not a kid anymore, Steve. And to see his play... deteriorate a little bit. It's very concerning. And again, I don't blame the Bucks for not forking over the big contract at this point.
Yeah, I don't blame him either, Ira, but I think you're being very harsh saying he doesn't work on his weaknesses. I mean, I don't think he's a player who's not trying to get better. He just hasn't, you know, shown the greatness that he flashed, and that happens to a lot of players across all sports. They have their, you know, a hot streak at the right time, and they're never quite the same. Can't really say what happened with Devin White, but we do know he had weeks off because he had COVID, and that might have recharged his legs for those playoffs. Same thing for Donovan Smith, who didn't actually have COVID, but was like a close contact or something and missed a game before the 2020 playoffs. It rejuvenated him. So, you know, there was some of that sort of strange bye week kind of thing going on for some players. I know White is a good player. I don't think anybody would doubt that, but, you know, a lot of expectations, and I get why the Bucks don't want to pay him. Frankly, if they did, they would have. I mean, they, like we were just saying, they know how to use the salary cap and adjust contracts, and it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. You know, when I look at Devin White, and you know, he's okay in coverage, just average. But, Lee, that's not the part that bothers me the most. It's not. This run defense, Lee, it's been slipping. It's not bad, but it used to be great. And it's not great. Even Bowles will tell you that freely. And I think White's a part of that, Lee. The angles, I don't think they have a lot of great tacklers on that defense. I think of Lavonte David, and I think of Winfield. Those are the two, Lee. That's not enough. And I think White's got to play a central role in stuffing the run. And I want to see better this year in that regard.
Oh, too many times White got absolutely owned by offensive linemen. I mean, owned. I can't think of the guy's name from Iowa, center, rookie center for Baltimore. He abused White. I'm not being sarcastic here. He owned his rear end. I mean, it looked like a bad professional wrestling match. Blew him off the ball 10 yards. It wasn't even funny. I mean, Devin White, he couldn't shed him to save his life. And that happens way too often last year. I like Devin White, but I don't think he's this all-world linebacker that he seems to think he is and he wants to be paid like.
Steve, I'm not rooting against Devin White. I'm not giving up on Devin White. He has it within his power to get that big contract. Steve, he does. It's all about Devin White at this point. Jason Light will be happy to, and the Glazers, to fork him over the money. If he's an elite linebacker, he's going to get paid.
Now, Ira, there are some readers on Joe Bucks Fan that have brought up the following about White. So I can see the fans are not happy with White, and this might be a factor. He wants to get paid. He's sitting out. And I think some fans remember how Tom Brady talked about how Devin White was all bent out of shape in 2020, that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. And Brady basically chewed him out and said, "We got more important things to worry about than that. Get your head in the game." And then you got Tristan Wirfs, which I have a hunch. I don't know for sure, but I have a hunch. Was not 100% in love with moving the left tackle. And he basically said, "If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it."
Absolutely right. Steve, I think the simplest way to put it, Steve, is our readers, our listeners, Steve, by and large, they don't have a lot of sympathy for champagne problems, Steve. They don't.
All right, Sage. Hey, I wanted to clarify a couple of things for everybody. First, Devin White can come to mandatory minicamp and just ultimately not participate. That's an option. I mean, he can show up and say, "I don't want to be fined. Yeah, you know, my back's a little sore. I don't want to do anything." That's a possibility, and the Bucks can't stop him from doing that, and that's that. So that is an option, and we could see something like that. Not sure what that would accomplish, but it is something that's out there and worth mentioning. Number two, Sage, I wanted to clarify, because I know sometimes you and Lee, and I'm not saying in this situation, but certainly fans listening, sometimes if I ask you a question or propose something to you, Ira, people think that's what I want to be done because I asked the question. Not always the case at all. I'm just asking the question. So I'm not proposing the Bucks go out there and throw Dalvin Cook a two-year contract or make him the top one-year deal offer. I'm just saying that there are layers here where it certainly makes some sense. You know, if the Bucks say they're trying to win and all signs point toward, yeah, they do want to win, and they maxed out their cap, they're we saw what they're doing. They signed Mayfield and other guys, whatever. You know, it does seem to fit on some level. So I just want to make sure that that's clear.
That's right, Steve. If this was a total rebuild, Lee, which it is not yet, I'm not ruling that out. If things go wrong in the middle of the season, I'm not ruling out a rebuilding stance. I think that's a possibility. But not at this point. So if it was a total rebuild, we wouldn't even be talking about Dalvin Cook. Lee, it wouldn't make any sense. You would be looking at a 22-year-old running back that doesn't have any tread. But it's precarious, Lee. It's a tightrope. I describe it like Light's trying to walk a tightrope. It's not easy. He looks at the division. Hey, why can't we do it? The Glazers say, why can't we win a division? It's pressure on Light. And unless the Glazers, again, I always go back to ownership, Lee. I do. Unless they wave the white flag like they did in 09, they waved it. They're the ones that said, you're out, Derek Brooks. That came from the Glazers. Nobody else. The Glazers. You're out. Warwick Dunn, you're out. Ike Hilliard, you're out. We know what happened. Unless we see that again, then this Dalvin Cook talk is viable. I don't think it's going to happen. You don't think it's going to happen. But you certainly can't dismiss it as not making any sense.
Real quick, I'm going to, Steve brought up clarification. The center for Baltimore is Tyler Lindenbaum. What you're talking about, it's very interesting. This whole season, this whole offseason is very interesting. They have too much talent to tank.
Yes.
And so many people just don't believe the Bucs are serious about winning with Baker Mayfield. Now, what everybody overlooks is they don't have any money. It's like a dude showing up at a $20 blackjack table with a $5 bill in his wallet. I mean, there's only so much Light could have done. And yeah. Obviously, Bowles doesn't want to tank because he wants to keep his job. Unless, and I don't know this, and I always have this caveat, unless the Glazers, and this drives Steve bananas, unless the Glazers have told Bowles, you're safe, you're coming back next year, don't worry about it. That drives Steve crazy when he hears that. But I can't remember who it was, but someone coined the phrase, the Bucks are half tanking.
You're right, Lee. It's a very bizarre situation. They're calling it a reset, Steve. A reset because, Light never wants to use the word rebuilding. He doesn't want to rebuild. He thinks there's a lot of nucleus of talent. And I'm not sure he's wrong. Lee, they got 7, 8, whatever it is, really good players. That's what they got. But they don't have 22 really good players like they used to. So Steve always goes back to the division. Steve, you're right on target, Steve. You're right on target. If this is the AFC West, you're looking up at the Chiefs. The Chargers are pretty darn good. I think we're having a different discussion. I think the Glazers would look at this totally different. Steve, here's the irony about the situation. Divisions change from year to year, Steve. You watched this league a long time. Not everybody's going to be 7-10 this fall. Somebody's going to pop up and win 9 or 10 games. Could be the Bucks. Could be. But I think it's going to be somebody. And divisions don't stay badly as a division for long. So that's risky business, saying, all we got to do is win 8 games and we're going to win the division again. I don't think you can count on that.
No, you can't count on that, and I don't think they are. I think they believe in the roster. I mean, it's not that weird. You lost your quarterback. You have a little salary cap issues, and you got a lot of good players. And Light, I guarantee you, Jason Light's sitting at home right now as we record this, thinking his offensive line is darn good and that he's built another good offensive line. And wait and see, folks. And I think they believe that they got a better offensive coordinator and they've got Chris Godwin healthy now and they've got a lot going for them. And I think they look at the division and drink beers and be like, hey, man, why can't we win this damn thing? This is ridiculous. Light wants that division title because it makes his resume look incredible. Nobody can ever say, oh, you needed Tom Brady to win a division again.
Lee, what's the case to be made that the offensive line's going to be better this year? Why?
I say that and people go bananas on me.
I mean,
Ira, that's an easy answer. What the hell are you talking about? What am I missing here?
I'll give you Jensen coming back, but is Cody Mark going to be an upgrade on Shaq Mason, Steve, this year? I don't know that.
No,
you even question mark, Ira. We don't know how that knee has healed. We don't know. From what I understand, he shouldn't have been out there in that playoff game. from what I hear through the grapevine, he shouldn't have been out there. It was
right.
Part desperation, part Jensen talked his way on the field. You know, I bring this up and people go, just it's like I kick their mother in the mouth. Every position on the offensive line has the question mark. Everyone. And people get pissed off at me when I say that, you know.
Well,
they're starting to turn me down, like, okay, I won't mention that Tristan Wirfs hasn't played left tackle since three games at Iowa. I won't mention it because we all know God has ordained him to be better than Anthony Munoz because he's Tristan Wirfs.
Steve, I'll pose the question to you, Steve.
Well, Sage, I wanted to answer your question. You're asking me why I think it's better than last year.
Go ahead.
I believe that before free agency started, you know, let's just call it March 5th, Ryan Jensen had a physical from the Bucs, and they determined that he's ready to go. I'm not talking about January. I'm talking about they went over him with a fine-tooth comb in March and said, you know what, we're going to bring you back for another year. You check out good, and we believe that you are healthy because we examined you, and that's that. So I take his health as a given because I don't think the Bucs would be dumb enough to keep him on the roster if he wasn't healthy. Why would they possibly do that? So I'm going to give them that on the medical side. So I think they have a clear upgrade at center in playing and in experience and in leadership, which should be important at center, especially with potentially a young quarterback in there. I like Matt Filer at left guard better than who the Bucs had at left guard last year. Filer is a proven, durable professional, and he's played with good offenses coming recently with the Chargers. So I think those two positions are better. The tackles, I can't say they're better. And then we have right guard. So, you know, Shaq Mason, he played well. Did he play incredibly well? I certainly didn't see him run blocking like a beast. Can't say the rookie's better out of the gate at all. But you know what? Maybe by the end of the year, the rookie will be better than a 30-year-old Shaq Mason. So I'm going to give it a wash, Ira.
I'm going to give you Jensen if he's healthy, Lee. And I don't think Lee's point can be dismissed. Steve,
dismissing it. I just think the left guard's better, center's better, tackle's worse, and right guard could be better late in the season.
Well, I'm just focused on Jensen. We don't know what he's going to be when the bullets fly. We don't know, Steve. We don't know how that knee's going to hold up. Yeah, they checked him out, but it's not like he went through the rigors of a training camp and held up. So, all right, Steve, I'll take your points, and obviously they didn't set a bar very high, Lee, last year. They didn't. You know, maybe Canales can help a little bit in terms of scheme. Maybe. They got a lot of room for improvement up front, Lee. There's no doubt about that.
Sage, last half a point on the Dalvin Cook stuff. I guess there's a stray chance that Dalvin Cook, who's been worked like a dog by Minnesota the last 4 years, maybe he'd be interested in coming to a team that has a good second running back so they can say to him, hey, Dalvin, instead of 270 carries, we're going to give you 200, save your body, help you get that bigger contract, take a little load off you. It's possible he could welcome a situation like that, which, of course, Miami has those other running backs, so maybe he'd want to go there.
Maybe, Steve, maybe. But when you've been the dominant number one back, ego gets involved, you know, because he's probably looking for another multi-year contract. He figures if he only gets 140 carries, that could hurt him. But I understand your point, Steve.
Lee, any thoughts?
Would I like to have Dalvin Cook here? Of course, but I'm not betting a nickel he's going to be here.
No, I wouldn't bet a nickel. Well, maybe a nickel, but not too much more.
Betting, Steve, speaking of betting, thank you.
What did I do?
Within 2 minutes of seeing Adam Schefter's Twitter about Dalvin Cook, I put $50 on the Bucks, and I took 6.5 points against the Vikings.
Wow, look at that, Lee. Look at that. Nice. Lee, the lines moved from 7 to 6.5. There you go.
Yeah, I got 7 the other day, but I still think 6.5 is not too bad. All right, Sage, I've been on this. Well, first, let's remember Bill Curry Ford. Shop there. Bill Curry Ford. You need a truck. You need a fleet vehicle. You need a car. You need a used vehicle. You need to get Iris' phone number. Call Bill Curry Ford, 813-736-6894. They're going to help you nonstop. And, of course, we're joking. They won't give out Iris' phone number, but they will give you a nationwide lifetime warranty on a new vehicle and $500 to order a new vehicle. Sage, I'm on this quest to get you to admit that Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. And so or at the very least, by the end of the year, for you to be pounding a drum saying, he's in, it's done, it's over. So I got this nugget for you. If Mike Evans in his 10th year just simply has a very typical Mike Evans season, which would be 70 catches, that's pretty much his average. So if he gets 70 catches, even if it's just modest Evans kind of season, and we're not even going to talk about the 1,000 yards and the streak, if he gets 70 catches, and he's never had less than 68 in a season, Evans is going to have more career catches than Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, Santana Moss, Greg Olsen, Andre Rison, Donald Driver, Charlie Joyner, and Michael Irvin on the career catches list. How could you keep him out after that?
I'm not saying I want to keep him out. If he gets another 1,000-yard season, it's going to be tough to keep him out. I grant you that. But I just want to point out, Lena, you mentioned Calvin Johnson. See, that's a perfect example. With all due respect, Mike Evans is not Calvin Johnson. He's not. Calvin Johnson, for 3 or 4 years, was the premier wide receiver in the National Football League. You can't say that about Mike Evans. You can't make that argument. You just can't. Calvin Johnson was the best of the best for a period of time. And it wasn't just 1 year. Mike Evans has a compelling case. There's no question about it. But, Lee, you got guys like Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne. They're waiting. So I don't think Steve's saying he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I don't think he would be. I don't think he would be. That's Randy Moss. That's Larry Fitzgerald. And Evans is not quite at that level. Not quite. But, Steve, you bring it up all the time. Evans and Canton, Evans in the gold jacket. Who knows if I'm still going to be on that panel? We're talking 10 years from now, Lee. He's going to play for 5 years. He's got to retire for 5 years. Lee, I'm going to be an old man. I'm going to walk in with a cane into Canton.
Steve is, I don't know who's got a harder time. Steve convinced you Evans is a Hall of Famer, or me convinced you Lavonte David's a Hall of Famer. But I think I know how to trigger you, Ira. I think I know how to trigger you.
Lee, maybe I'm a little jaded because I've been on this thing almost 20 years on the panel. I hear what goes on in the rooms. I think Evans has a better case to be made than Lavonte David. I think it's going to be hard, Lee. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it. They look at all pros. All pros count. David doesn't have it. All decade counts. I don't think David has it.
Well, neither does Mike Evans. Neither does Mike Evans.
Neither does Mike Evans. So it just makes it harder. These are guys that didn't see... They didn't see Lavonte David play a lot.
Well, that's just it. Van stats, it's a no-brainer about Lavonte David. It's a no-brainer. His name's right up there in advanced stats with J.J. Watt. And it's just a no-brainer. But here's how to get you worked up, Ira. With Evans and Calvin Johnson, who was a better quarterback? Matt Stafford or Jameis?
Stafford.
Yeah, I knew I'd get you going.
Stafford.
Hey, Ira, you mentioned Reggie Wayne. He played 14 years. He's got one more touchdown than Mike Evans. So get Reggie Wayne out of here. Stop that.
Well, I'm just saying he's been waiting. You know, so Evans will have to wait. Evans will have to wait. But he's making a hell of a case. And, you know, Steve, you know the beautiful part of it? He's got 4 or 5 years left to get even more persuasive case. It's going to be tough to keep Evans out.
Yeah,
it'll be tough.
Yeah, you can't even say that he is going to have to wait because we don't know how many years he's going to play or what he's going to do. So just had to throw that fun at you, Sage. Big Storm Brewery, get to Facebook or Instagram and you'll see the schedule of live music at Big Storm Ybor, Centro Ybor, upstairs, second floor. Live music, check it out there. We'll share it on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan, probably on the website a little bit too. And of course, we thank Big Storm Beer for being the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, as we mentioned to start the show. Sage, last one from me, because it's just too much fun. I just had so much fun. And then I realized, wow, nobody wrote about this. You know, I couldn't resist watching Jameis Winston's last locker room scrum news conference. And they asked him about John Gruden. Now, it was reported that John Gruden, you know, just came to talk to coaches and, you know, incorporate Derek Carr a little bit into the offense. Well, it turns out he was there working with Carr and Jameis. And he had a recommendation for Jameis. Jameis told him that Gruden said, hey, you got to stop being a bobblehead quarterback. And Jameis says to Gruden, well, what's that? And Gruden says, that's when you're constantly nodding yes to coaches. You got to lose that because you got to tell them what you really like and what you love about plays or what you don't like. You can't just keep saying, yes, I'm fine with it. Now, Jameis didn't say it, but I have a feeling Gruden said, hey, you should have told Arians to shove some of those plays up his ass, and then you wouldn't have had 30 interceptions, but you're just saying you're a yes man, and that cost you your career, pal. But Jameis said he loved meeting with Gruden, called him one of the greats of all time, and Jameis wouldn't say that he was too much of a yes man, but he did during his Tampa Bay days, because they asked him a follow-up question about that. But Jameis admitted that. He said, well, I just felt like I could do anything the coaches asked. I could execute any play, so I didn't really say no or what I didn't like. I just felt I could do anything. And it sounded like he believed Gruden that, you know, that maybe that cost him. So how could you ever imagine, Ira, that those two would be working together with the Saints? Crazy stuff.
You know, guys, this is rich. It's rich. An ex-coach of the Bucs who was fired breaks bread with Jameis Winston, who was essentially fired by the Bucs. This whole Winston thing, I just can't get over it. I just can't get over how Winston has been humbled to the point where he didn't think he had any future with any other franchise but sit behind a guy who never gets hurt in Derek Carr. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. Lee, the guy always had a strong ego. You know, it wasn't like he always admitted his mistakes. He never lost belief in himself. With the Bucs, he always thought he was strong-minded, and now it looks like he folded his tent, Lee. I just can't get over him staying in New Orleans, not asking, for his release from New Orleans. Let me come and compete for a job, a la Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying come back to the Bucs, but go to another team and compete. Looks like he's a whipped puppy, Winston. I just can't get over it.
What I find interesting about all that is, Light brought Jameis in part because he thought he had such a winning personality that he would pull the losing culture out of the Bucs and destroy that losing culture. Pull the Bucs out from the flames like a phoenix. And instead, losing was so ingrained in his organization that it even got to Jameis.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it.
You could argue it was so ingrained that it finally did Brady in. Remember how Brady was hollering at those guys at San Francisco? And they were just the offensive line just had a glazed look. It wasn't registering.
And Steve, of course, Gruden has a very famous relationship with his quarterbacks, whether it be Brad Johnson in Tampa, Jeff Garcia. Remember the great line, Steve, from Garcia when the Bucs were dallying with Brett Favre in 2008 training camp. Jeff Garcia walked past me and Roy Cummings and looked at us and said, dead man walking, dead man walking. He knew all the rumors about Favre. And then at the podium, without any prompting, he said that John Gruden likes to date quarterbacks, but he doesn't want to marry any. I mean, Garcia got the full Gruden treatment. And as far as being a bobblehead, I don't know about that, Steve. I'm not sure Gruden would really appreciate a lot of pushback from his quarterbacks. I think his attitude is, do what I say, and you'll have guys wide ass open.
Actually, Ira, the quarterback that he has the best relationship with to this day got in his face and told him to shut the F up, and that was Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon, yeah.
Talk about this. Rich Gannon used to be a regular host on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He would talk about how Gruden would be hollering at him while Gannon was under center calling the play. And Gannon said at one time he turned to Gruden with his hands under the center. He turned to Gruden as Gruden was hollering at him, would you shut the crap up?
that's Gruden with quarterbacks. Well, whatever you do, it's not quite good enough. I'll be going down to Bill Curry Ford next week, Steve, service department. They know what they're doing there. And, of course, it's going to look totally different in a few months with that capital outlay they're doing. They're being very aggressive at Bill Curry Ford. They want your business. So I'm going back there. You know, I might as well get a laugh out of our listeners, Steve. Somebody's probably wondering, hey, what happened? You know, you need new tires, this and that. No. Something chewed through my wires. It could have been a rat. It could have been a squirrel. It could have been a member of the Buck Media. I don't know who that was. But somebody got under my hood and chewed through my wires, and I got to get it fixed over at Bill Curry Ford.